Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, it's been a while since we've talked. It seems like we're doing the show every 2 weeks, but it is what it is. I hope you're doing good, man. How's the week?
I know. It's just trying to catch up with some personal stuff. And then, you know, I know you've been pretty busy. So we're kind of doing this shows as we can, but no, it's been good. Mainly just, you know, staying home. My wife has had a lot of tests coming up, so she's been studying a lot. I just been chilling at the house, watching games, playing some FIFA and whatnot, but yeah, it's been good. What about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Definitely been a little busy. Been at home, trying to relax when we're at home, but we're not. Yeah, I got major minor surgery a couple weeks ago, was ridden to bed, had a pack of frozen peas like for a couple of days.
Lo deshuevaron.
Yeah, pretty much, man, but it's good. No more surprises later on. So, you know, definitely don't want a third kid or triplets. You never know what God gives you. So it's you know, it's kind
of like a hell of a surprise.
Bro, it'd be like playing 21, you know what I mean? You know when you're like about to win and then it's like bam, like another five. So no, it is what it is. Side of the day, you know, we're excited because super busy. We should be closing on the construction loan for the home that we're trying to build, and we're excited for that. Trying to find a new opportunity for me, just period. And yeah, man, just life gets busy sometimes, but excited to talk about soccer. And this is our episode 25, which I feel like we should do something big, like, but you know what I mean? Hell yeah. Big, like Rodrigo likes it. but no, man, what's whatever topic you want to jump into. I think we last, what is it, 2 weeks ago, we saw the first three match days for the World Cup qualifiers for the road to Qatar. It was exciting. And around the corner, we have three more matches coming up within, 3 weeks? So we have, I think it's October 8th. I had it open. I think it's October 8th. I'm making that up. 7th. 7, 10, and 13. There'll be matches being played. And yeah, man, so far, yeah, I think the group is kind of playing out how we thought it was going to play out. I'll go real quick through what the standings are right now. Mexico has 7 points. They won two. Well, Mexico has 7 points. Canada has 5. United States has 5. Panama has 5. Costa Rica has 2. Honduras has 2. And El Salvador, 2. Jamaica has a single point. Matches have been good. I think, surprisingly, the United States seemed like a little bit shaky at first, and even when they played in Honduras, like, which Honduras looked like the whole first half was theirs, they turned that thing around quickly. Very surprising. Team showed out, and I mean, we could have probably been talking about them being bottom of the table, but that's not the case, right? So yeah, good stuff so far. I think, I mean, it's only three matches, you know, there's still plenty of games left to see who makes it. But Rodrigo, just from the table itself, who do you expect on this next three matches to move up or down, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's been an interesting set of games. For me, if anything, it's been pretty unpredictable just because what we thought, what we had originally talked about, the teams that look stronger, you know, didn't look as strong. And then the weaker teams surprised us. For me, especially, you know, talking about Panama, looked pretty decent. And I actually had them dead last of the group. And, you know, they played against Mexico and actually gave them a pretty good game. But yeah, this next match is, I had high hopes for Jamaica, especially with bringing the Premier League players. And unfortunately, most of them couldn't play in some games due to the COVID restrictions. And then, you know, now they get to face Canada at home. But I just feel like Canada's pretty much of a strong team to, you know, still keep them down there. Either they might get a point or none. So it's going to be a tough game for that. Costa Rica, I think, might have a little bit easier against El Salvador. But, you know, when we get to the U.S., it's going to actually they're gonna close well this October, I guess. They'll have a little bit of easier matches before closing to a tougher group and tougher games, and we'll talk about those next time when we get closer to that day. But the U.S., I think this is the time for them to, you know, go ahead and get basically the 9 points out of it and move them closer to the World Cup spots. And that's probably what I'm focusing more on, how the U.S. try to get out of this one, just because the last three games, I believe they're probably the toughest ones for them, playing, I think, two games away and then one home. But you know, we'll see what we can get out of them.
Well, I think that's the case for both U.S. and Mexico, right? Because both of them have two home matches. And so they should be able to take advantage of that. And you're absolutely right. I think at this point, Jamaica, sadly, is probably going to lose all three of the matches. If not, maybe get something at home. But it all depends on the weather and what the stadium or the field conditions looks like. But I think this three matches is what are going to be like teams like the U.S. and Mexico separate themselves as the top dog. See who's, you know, is starting to earn those. So those spots that everybody wants, right, to go straight into the World Cup without having to play a playoff. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. And then obviously everybody else in between. Is definite, and I'm not saying that, you know, the U.S. or Mexico are playing easy matches. They're not, but having, in Mexico's case, playing Honduras at home, I mean, that's obviously, you still have home advantage. I think by then they should have a full stadium, if not some people in attendance, by match day five. So yeah, it should see what they're made out of, and sadly, you know, at this rate, like you said, Jamaica may be gone, Salvador may be gone if they aren't able to get points, very needed points out of this match. But we still have about a month to talk about these matches. We'll break them down definitely as they come, especially knowing the players are going to be in the squad when they play these matches. I'm sure injuries will happen, so hopefully not big key players are missing. And maybe by then, which I doubt it, but maybe by then, the COVID regulations, especially the ones that affected like teams like Jamaica with so many people from England, are a little bit more relaxed. But this is the world that we're in right now. All kinds of limitations and stuff like that. So all the teams are being affected. Obviously, even Mexico was affected, not being able to play Raul Jimenez. But Rodrigo, anything else you want to add before we move on to a different topic? No, you're good. All right, well, let's end up. Yeah, what's up?
No, so let's go.
All right, let's go. So another thing that we kind of did not get to talk about, obviously, since we did not do a show last week, was the 2021 CONCACAF Champions League. So the final is set, and it's going to be another Mexican final, which it was going to be tough for the lonely MLS team being Philadelphia Union to make it past America. And I think one of the funniest things you told me was that in Philadelphia, the stadium was pretty much yellow. And there's a lot of, you know, fans for America there, which basically, well, they ended up winning 4-0 in, what is it called, aggregate. And Monterrey ends up beating Cruz Azul. So, Rodrigo, what are your opinions on the final itself, man? I mean, I know... Same thing. This one's definitely more than a month before it plays. And I'm sure there'll be things that change and stuff. Especially because by then, there should be Liga MX playoff should be playing. And so, obviously, things can happen. But, man, Rodrigo, yeah, your thoughts?
It's going to be one of the most, I guess, two teams with the most Champions League finals that they played on, Monterrey and America. It's gonna be a good match. The only thing I do want to touch, I mean, you know, we don't like America at all, but man, Ochoa, I don't know if you watched that game against Philadelphia, but he was playing like, you know, like that prime Ochoa, I guess we've seen in the past. He had an amazing penalty save, and then he even got the rebound saved as well to keep that clean sheet. But like, that would have been decisive. I think if they would have scored that goal, it would have pushed Philadelphia to maybe equalize in the aggregate, and probably America wouldn't have gotten those two late goals. And, you know, it would have been a different story, but, man, he was on top of things. So always enjoy watching him play, either even if it's for America, as long as they're not playing Chivas. I like watching him make some saves, especially with Mexico, of course. But, yeah, I mean, Monterrey looks strong, too, for this tournament. It is a month away, so that's kind of, you know, takes things down a little bit. But they're also playing, you know, for a spot to the World Club Cup, which Monterrey was pretty successful in the past. America, not so much, but it's always nice to have a team from CONCACAF and Mexico especially to be part of it. So we'll see, you know, how they'll do.
Yeah, and when you said about, like, not really being a fan of America, I think I'm not really even a fan of Monterrey, so this is probably a final that I'm not, like, oh, super excited to watch or anything like that, and in my opinion, just because those are teams that I'm not really big fond of or whatever. But yeah, so the matchup will be played in October, and we'll have plenty of time to break it down. I'm sure we have a lot of people, or I know we have definitely friends that are big Monterrey fans, that being Rayados or Tigres. But in this case, it'll get the last laugh to try to get another title, and obviously America too. But real quick, I just want to touch on something that came out today. That being the League's Cup, and that affects both Major League Soccer and Liga MX. So I kind of like breaking news today that basically the tournament beginning 2023 is going to be expanding to include all of the clubs in MLS and Liga MX. And the top three teams will qualify to the Champions League, which is very cool because I'm assuming it's going to be a knockout phase. There's definitely gonna be more MLS teams than Mexican teams. So maybe this is the first time that they were like maybe get more teams to go into the Champions League from Mexico. I mean, sorry, from the U.S. compared to Mexico. But it's something different. It's kind of something cool that, you know, I'm sure they'll play most of the matches here in the States. So all the big teams, you know, we may get. I mean, it'd be great to get like a Chivas versus like Dynamo or something like that, just to change it up. Seems like they always are playing Tigres, but you never know. Like here locally in BBA, obviously you may be still in Dallas, so who knows? Maybe FC Dallas gets to play another good team in their stadium. And I think those matches are always good just to keep building, you know, competition and making the leagues better, because. Dude, you know what crazy thing was that I was looking at how like MLS and Liga MX, they pump a lot of players they played in Copa America, which is really crazy if you really think about it, you know, because obviously those two leagues always get like that they're trash or this or that. And of course, we all know they're growing, but it is kind of cool to see how much good talent is taking from, you know, obviously we know how South America has very good nations, and then there's some poor ones like Bolivia and stuff like that, not to knock on them, but you know, I want their golden generation is gone, and both of the players actually played in MLS. But anyways, man, this League Cup, interesting. I mean, I know it's pretty new, so it's not like something, oh my god, yeah, League Cup by any means, but at least it's more games, I guess, in this cool single elimination tournament. Anything you want to add on that, or you want me to go ahead and move into the Dynamo?
Just to add, yeah, I think that's very important, like what you said, adding more competition to both MLS, Liga MX, all this play for the CONCACAF, and even South America. You know, funny thing that you mentioned all that is I was looking at the top scorer table for the MLS, and a lot of those players have also played in Liga MX, you know, which we've always seen this in the past, that a lot of people from South America tend to go to Mexico because they get paid a little bit better than in South America. But then the good thing is from there, they always, or not always, but they make the jump either to, you know, playing in Europe or if not playing the MLS, and they still keep that same, you know, competitive level. which is, you know, good to grow the U.S. soccer more than anything, and CONCACAF soccer as well. But yeah, this is a new League's Cup that's going to be exciting. And, you know, like you mentioned, I think it will attract more fans to go watch those teams that they can watch in Mexico into the stadiums.
Yeah, especially when, you know, obviously, like this past MLS All-Star, there was like a MLS against Liga MX. But when you looked at the actual team buildup and rosters, they were kind of so, you know, like one-sided. And, you know, there was, you know, players from like one team, you had like five players or something like that. So a lot of people missed out. And like in my case, being a Chivas fan, following from Liga MX, being a Houston Dynamo fan, you know, there were just no players, with rightly so, right? Because the teams are struggling. Not like you want to see technically anybody per se, but at the same time, you kind of lose that interest just to even watch. As much as there are, you know, players that play for Mexico in that case, you know, but even then. But I think that's a cool little thing that seems building up. And like I said, I think it just creates more competition. That it was funny that it seems like the Liga MX kind of partnering with the MLS, noticing that, you know, the MLS has become way more popular and there's so much draw in from Mexico and the US. So it's good to take advantage of that. I mean, whoever is the lead businessman that, you know, brought like some good ideas like that, because I mean, they're gaining a bunch of revenue out of it, which is great, right? But yeah, so with that being said, I guess I really want to move into Houston Dynamo, kind of keep it local. I guess local for me currently, for you, bad, because Houston Dynamo, I'm kidding. Houston Dynamo has been on a good, you know, after they've been terrible after a 14, 15 game non-winning or winless streak. They've been doing very well. And in a week, in the span of 8 days, actually, they beat Austin FC, they tied LA Galaxy in LA, and then they come back home and beat FC Dallas. And to me, that's a big turnaround. And, you know, I'll let Rodrigo kind of get your thoughts in. But one thing that I do want to mention, the X factor has been Darwin Quintero. And, you know, one big thing that I, from the very beginning, was kind of like not super excited about Tar Ramos being a coach, just because of his likes of a profession or yeah, like experience with like a professional team or a club team, was because bringing that youth experience is great, but you could see that those were the tactics he was using, you know, short tournaments tactics by playing basically your quote unquote like best 11. And just kind of playing them, you know, till it died, basically. And that was never going to work. And if, you know, you feel like a player like Indetta doesn't fit your system, then I feel like you always have to take advantage of the best players you have and adapt and change those tactics so they work in your favor. And sadly, it's so late in the season that, I mean, our playoffs, playoff chance are probably very, very, very slim. And it's too late for it, but I'm glad that he was able to notice that. And Rodrigo, I could keep talking about this because, you know, I've watched the team pretty much every match and go to the stadium, but man, I want to hear your thoughts, you know, especially since you watched the last match in Dallas on Dallas TV, basically. So what's up, man?
Man, I think the turning point for all this has to do with the firing of Matt Jordan. Because since, you know, we knock on wood, but we haven't lost again, which is a very big thing. And who knows? I wonder if maybe that had to do something with Quintero too, because as soon as he got fired, and I know there was also, you know, there were players missing from either international or different things, so they were getting a little bit more play time. But man, yeah, like you mentioned, Darwin, to me, he's probably the best player we have, honestly. And it was a shock to always see him on the bench getting 5 minutes here, you know, late subs, didn't do anything. And the biggest thing with him, and I think I said it to you and I said it to Chris and honest when we were talking about, you know, on episodes back, that to me, if he's gonna play, he can't play as like a striker, you know, a number nine or number seven. I think he's better as a number 10. And this last few games, that's what Tab has been playing as. And, you know, he creates so much. You know, one thing I like to look at is the player's rating after a game. And you know, he's been probably having the consistent player rating of like a 8 or above that. So, you know, he's doing a lot for the team, creating a lot of space, a lot of chances to Fafa, to whoever's basically wide open. And it's just a simple, you know, pass and put it in, or if not, he'll take a shot, you know, and force the rebound. I think there was either two goals like that happened in the last, I guess, 3 games or so. But yeah, man, he's. I think he needs to continue to start. He needs to, you know, have that more confidence, and not just him, but, you know, from Tab, to make him feel like, you know, he's happier with the team. Because if I see this season and he goes back to the bench and he's only playing 5 minutes, this is the last we're going to see of him. And he's such a great player that if we get rid of him, you know, you need to bring somebody 10 times better than him, because he's a great player, still has a lot of play in him. And I think right now, or most of the season, his talent has been wasted. But, you know, we don't even know if Tab Ramos is going to be there next season. So that's going to be, I guess, something that we need to look forward to as well. But yeah, man, like you mentioned, I was watching the game here in Dallas. Okay, so I was watching it in Spanish. This is interesting to me because I've never watched a Dallas game from local TV. And they call them the Toros. So, like, they know, are they known as the Bulls? Because, like, I've never heard that in, like, I've never heard of, like, oh, the Dallas
Aren't they
Bulls.
The Hoops or the Hoofs or the...
Well, I think it's, like, Hoopa. I think that's their, like, mascot.
Their mascot, guy. Yeah, but I thought
yeah,
that...
Yeah, but, like, they kept saying, like, the Toros. And I just kept thinking of, like, the... is it the Valley one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was thinking of...
RGB?
Every time they mentioned it,
you're talking about
yeah,
RGB?
Yeah. So, and they just kept saying, oh, yeah, Toros. But, like, they were so biased of, like, everything they were saying. Obviously, and rightly so, I guess, you're in Dallas. So it's kind of funny and interesting, but I've never heard them use or refer us.
Okay,
so
I have. So I was there at the game. I was lucky enough to go to the game. I wasn't gonna go because my dad ended up bailing, and then a couple people that I asked, actually one guy that I tend to give tickets to, he had already bought tickets. So I was like, man, this is gonna suck. So I told my wife and my sister-in-law, and they went down with me over there, and it was great. Because, you know, they never really been to it and stuff, so that was fun. But what's funny is next to me, I've noticed that there's like people that tend to sit there, and it's always the same people, but I guess they sold their tickets. And so it was actually like a family of FC Dallas fans. And what was funny to me is they weren't wearing anything, like no gear of like any of the teams, you know. So at first I was like, where are these people? Because then I saw what they were sharing. Every time that something good happened for them, they would share, and bad, they would like complain. So it didn't take me long to figure, especially when they were up 3-0, the Houston was, that they were just Dallas fans. So I ended up leaving just a little bit early. Usually I stay till like the game ends, but we left like in the 78th or like out of my seats. And it kind of sucks. It's like as soon as we left the stadium, they scored, and then I guess they scored again. And I was like, man, this sucks. Like it could have been, we could have freaking blown that awesome lead we'd had. Then the only downside is obvious, or bad side of that match was that we lost Lundy for probably a couple weeks. And you know, going back to obviously Quintero playing, to me, another big thing that you know, that Tab Ramos didn't do in the very beginning was rotating his players. And it got to the point that Adam Lundqvist wasn't playing well at all, right? And so he ended up benching him for Jonka, and Jonka ended up playing better. And then eventually Jonka started, I mean, he had a few errors and whatnot, and then he gave Lundy back the spot. And since he did that, Adam had been like on point, man. I mean, the dude was attacking well, I mean, defending well, which obviously is his main position. But he was attacking as well, creating chances, like by, you know, chunking a bunch of corner or crosses to the middle of the 18 box. And so that to me was something that is missing still, because I feel like there's more rotation that can be done, because that only creates competition. You know, it's like anywhere. If people, if you know you're always going to start, people are going to get kind of like a little bit like antsy about that position.
Yeah, I mean, just to hit on that, for those who watch the Premier League, you obviously know who Luke Shaw is. And if you ask anybody 2 years ago, you know, is he a good player? Or it's like, no, we need to sell him, you know, especially the Man U fans. But as soon as they brought Alex Telles in, I think he's Portuguese. But anyways, as soon as they brought him in,
I think he's Brazilian. You know,
that left, or Brazilian, fill that left back position. He just, Luke Shaw, it just kind of put like a burning passion in him of like, hey, I got to improve, I got to do better. And now some people are like, oh, he's the best left back in the Premier, which we know he's not, because, you know, Andy Robertson is. But anyways, but, you know, it's the same situation.
Can
where
you
build
say
that competition.
Bias?
No, just facts, man. I do absolutes. But yeah, it's just that natural competition that you're fighting for, you know, basically your job. And Luke Shaw, you know, made it to the Euros and had a great tournament and is still having a great season. And same thing with, you know, bringing it back to the Dynamo, Lemskis.
Yeah, know, with Adam. Scenario. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I think that in Tab's system, he just plays who he thinks is best, and he just gonna keep playing them. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. But I think especially when the team was just in a poor, you know, winless, yeah, go for it, man.
No, I was just gonna say, man, this team, you know, watching the against Dallas, they obviously played so well. They just had a couple of mistakes at the end and almost cost them the game. You know, it could have easily gone for a tie there. But man, I was like watching this team and watching this game and watching the last game, that we've been doing so well and we don't even have Coco. So I'm just thinking like, man, imagine with him, with this new, you know, I guess version of Dynamo, that's going to create a lot of opportunities. I hope they can keep this momentum up, because at this pace, you know, it would set them up perfectly to try to get a spot into the playoffs. And honestly, I think they can just go all the way and, you know, even have a chance at winning it.
That's so true. And especially like, it would be great to see like, you know, Mati Beda playing next to Coco, and then having Quintero playing on top of them like he's been doing lately. And the only reason I've been about the rotation is because, you know, there's players that like, you know, and I think it's hard whenever you're, you know, when you're and I mentioned this before, when you're a coach, right? Even if you take it as like a chair or armchair coach, I guess, like, you know, like from your couch, in the sense of like, or if you play FIFA, like usually you pick a team that you want, you know, you keep who you like and you sell who you don't. And that's how you kind of do your own thing, right? I mean, like every coach has their players. And definitely Tap has shown that, you know, bringing like Griffin Dorsey, bringing like a Tyler Pasher, like players that he has had some kind of connection, Jones, you know, there's plenty that he's brought this season. And then sometimes the ones that he brings don't seem to work out also. But I think whenever you're, you know, you take over, and obviously it's not necessarily the squad that you want, right? Because you can't just throw it as much as you want to. You can't just throw everything away and start over every season. But the players that are there, I feel like, yes, you know, you see them in training all the time, but there's players that do much better in, you know, in real 90-minute play than they do when they're just training. And I'm just big advocate of like letting the people play, man. You know, if they suck, they suck. But at least you can't say, oh, because they were bad at practice. Like, you need to be able to give them time, you know, players. And I'm talking about players like Fuenmayor, that the dude came in pretty hot, you know, as soon as he joined the Dynamo, got so much playing time. And then even, you know, with Cabrera, he obviously did not get the same love by the second season and so on and so on. And I'm sure that's a guy that is going to be gone by the year end. And but then you have players like Christian Ramirez that, you know, the dude left and he doesn't stop scoring goals in Europe. So It just depends. Or Mateo Bahamich, right? That you apparently did so much, paid a ton of money for this kid, and you don't give him the opportunity to play. And giving players just 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, it's not enough. Let them, you know, right now, especially if we, you know, start we lose and are out of playoff contention, play the kids. Just give them the opportunity to play. And that's my thought there. But it's good to see the Dynamo in winning ways again. Hopefully they keep the momentum going. There's still plenty of matches. A good thing, there's quite a few, I think like 5 home games left that I'll probably be to 90% of them. And for our listeners and, you know, people that follow us on our social medias, definitely keep an eye out for some tickets. I'll probably be giving away some in one of the matches coming up. So just a night or something to keep an eye on. But Rodrigo, if you want to add anything else on the Dynamo, yeah. So hopefully the Dynamo keep winning. And oh, the very first thing I was going to say, why Dallas? Like, it sucks to be Dallas. Because finally, the Dynamo got the El Capitan back. So we got the trophy from our rivals. It had been a long time. I think a couple years ago, I went to go see them play in Dallas. And it was great. We just, you know, got our ass beat like 4-0, 5-1 or something like that. It sucked. So it's great to have them back. But with that being said, Rodrigo, go for it.
And to add, I guess, a little bit more salt to that wound of losing, then you get your head coach fired. So congratulations, Dynamo.
That's actually big. Yeah, congratulations. But yeah, keep crossing soccer borders.